Hello there, good morning. Is it possible if I could please speak with Mr. James McDonald Drain, please?
Speaking.
Hi, darling. My name's Billy, and I'm giving you a call today from MMA Legal. It's regarding the Scottish redress claim you've applied for due to times in the care system. If I am correct, it's home on board and Castle Coward Residential School. So my job today is just to make sure we've got your details down correctly. I'll explain the full procedure and I can get everything sent into submission for you. It'll take about 5-10 minutes. Is that okay with you, darling?
Okay, dear, yeah.
Brilliant. So I'm just going to pull up the file for you and just cross-reference everything that we've got off your application to begin with. So if I am correct, I've got your name as James McDonald Drain. Now, is that a...
Yes.
McDonald Drain, is that your surname, darling?
Well, McDonald's is a middle name.
Middle name, no problem. Let me get that changed over here for you. And is there any other names that you may have gone by within the care system, or is that...
No.
Perfect. We have got an email address here for you. It's Jimmy Boy, but it's Boy, B-H-O-Y, at bhoy@openworld.com. Is that correct, darling?
That's correct, yes.
Brilliant. And could I please ask you for your date of birth there, please?
29/1/1955.
Perfect. And if I am correct, is this the best mobile number for you if the line disconnects for any reason?
Yeah, it's the only one, yeah.
Perfect. Now, before we go any further, I just need to explain to you that we will not be collecting actuals today here in any way, shape or form in regards to wasting your time for compensation. You will be due back compensation as long as we can locate your files, which if there is files there, we will get our hands on them. We approach all local authorities and we do require everything. So it's not the case where we're going to have to say, oh, we need to prove that this happened to you or we need to prove that that happened to you. That's not the case whatsoever. Your statement is what we make you an offer from. We just need to prove that you was within these places. Now, it would be wrong for me to give you a direct value right away as there's no cap on it. You could come out with 150,000, you could come out with 200,000. What we are sure of at the moment is that the average claim will average at 48,000 just so you have something to look forward to. Is that okay with you for the time being, Mr. Drain?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Could I please ask you, Dali, for your home postcode where you are residing at the moment, please?
It's IG87NS.
And that shows me as West Grove in Woodford Green, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
What's the door number?
Number 30.
30. Now, with your age, if I am correct, you're 70 years of age at the moment, is that correct, Alan?
71, yeah.
Perfect. So within that, what we can do for you is we are eligible to fast track the claim. Again, the case can take anything up to 12 months, but with it being a fast track, it will take anything from 3 to 6 months. Just due to your age, we can submit that over there for you. I do need to ask the question, have you ever been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses or anything like that at all, darling, that you are aware of?
Not terminal, but I have emphysema.
Right, let me get that down here for you. And what we would require is a beneficiary. So basically, if the worst was to happen to you over the next few months whilst the claim is ongoing, is there anybody within your circle or your family that you would be happy for this payment to go to so you know you have still had that justice served?
Yes, my partner.
Can I take their name, please, darling?
Yes, it's Valerie Drain.
Drain. And what I'll do is I'll just use your mobile number for her just for the time being. Is that okay with you? I'm sure that she'll have your phone if anything needs to happen.
Yeah.
Let's set that down here. Valerie, and your phone. On issue. Now, in regards to the claim procedure, I did say it can take anything up to 12 months, but with it being a fast track, it will be anything between 3 to 6 months. It can take a little bit longer than that as well, but it will be a lot faster than the initial process.
Yeah.
What I would just need to ask you, don't worry if there's something that you don't remember, just what you can remember will help the case as much as you possibly can. Do you know what area that you grew up in before you were placed into care, darling?
I was in the Glasgow until, Glasgow, yeah.
And was it just you that was taken into care or did you have siblings placed into care as well?
I had two sisters and a brother that were also in approved schools and stuff like that, yeah.
And do you still have a relationship with them siblings?
No, unfortunately, the three of them are dead now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. Can I just ask you for the names of your parents, please, darling?
Yeah, sure. The names of my brothers and sisters.
Yes, please, darling.
Yeah, Kathleen, Isabel, and Daniel.
No problem. So that's just when we locate your files, if they were to say we've got 10 James Drains on the system, we can say, well, this was his siblings and this is the name of his parents. Could I ask the name of your parents, Dad, please?
Yeah. Daniel and Elizabeth.
And was that Drain, darling?
Yes.
Right. Perfect. Thank you for that. And do you know what age he was placed into the care system, if you remember?
I was started when I was 14, but I think my sisters were about the same age, but my brother was about 10.
And can I ask you, do you remember if they separated you from your siblings? Because really, they should have kept you all together.
No, we were all in separate places.
So that's neglect before we've even gone into anything there. Let me just step that down here. Could I also ask you, darling, do you know why you was placed into the care system? If it's not something you're aware of, do not worry.
No, it was only... They said at the time it was health issues. You know what I mean? I think we were undernourished. That was the general consensus. But I think it was failure to attend schools and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
So back then, unfortunately, there was used any reason to say to your parents, and reasons like not going to school and things like that was not an excuse for you to stay from a loving home and be placed under the care of somebody where they wasn't really having much interest in you or abusing you in any way, shape or form. So that, again, is neglect already. Now, in regards to yourself here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get everything logged onto the portal for you. It said you was around 14 years of age when you was placed into place. Do you know what the first place was that you got sent to, darling?
It was Castle Toward. It was they classed it as a residential home.
Let me get that.
And it was in...
Don't worry, I'll have a look for the area where it was. Do not worry at all. Another thing that I'm going to ask you, have you ever been provided with a copy of your files? Have you ever seen your files of anything like that?
No.
Right, okay. Well, we will get provided with that because we approach all local authorities. So it's not just the care homes and things like that, because people think because it's been closed down or it's been such a long time ago that there's no paperwork. Now, that's wrong information. We will locate all documents, we'll approach all the local authorities, and we will require everything that will help us to make sure we get to the maximum amount possible. I know it's not about
does that
money.
Does that include hostels and places like that, remand homes, detention centres?
Most definitely. So once we get that, we'll get all files for you up until you are the age of 18. And if you were still under the care of, say, let's just say you was under the care of a children's home at the age of 18 and you was there for your 21, we'd have all of them files for you. So once we require to get them files, we will always give you an option to have them files back. Now, we would never just send them out to you because some people would like to see the information, some people wouldn't. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever thought about that. You don't need to make a decision right away. But if you would like a copy of that, we will be happy to provide that back to you, darling, okay?
Yeah, sure.
If you can remember, do you know how long roughly you was in Castle Toward for?
It was less than a year, I know that.
No problem. So just so I know roughly what time of year to get the
documents. Because we moved house and there was a problem regarding the house moving. We had to be out or else we've... We moved constantly when we were young. So it was hard to keep in touch where you lived, you know what I mean?
And of course, if you've been separated from your siblings and things like that as well, with you being moving as well, it's not acceptable whatsoever.
Yeah. I never seen them much during, up until I was about 16, I didn't see much of them at all. From about the age of 10, I didn't see much of them at all.
Sorry to hear that.
Sometimes they get out for weekends because they were placed in all sorts of different places all over Scotland.
Can I ask you when you were sent to Polmont Bolster? So after Castle Tower, did you go home for a little bit and then they place you into Polmont Bolster, or did they send you straight to the Bolster?
No. Polmont Bolster was... I was in a detention centre before that, Longrigg End. But,
okay, and do you feel like, because we can file against Longrigg End as well, you're not the only person that's mentioned that place here, so do you feel like there was any mistreatment in the detention centre?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Let me get that down here for you then, darling. Just give me 2 seconds. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go into Longrigg End before we go into Polmont.
Yeah.
Just get that. How old was you when you were possibly sent into Longrigg End, if you do remember, darling?
I'd be 15.
15, no problem. So I'm yeah. 42. 42. And was you here for a few weeks as like a detention centre,
yeah.
An assessment centre?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a terrible place.
And then after that, is that when they sent you straight on to Polmont, darling?
Well, no, because there was court cases involved. And then, fictitiously, they actually put me into Berlinney because they said that I owed £20 in fines. And for the £20 in fines, they gave me 3 months in Berlinney.
And did you feel like there was mistreatment in Berlinney as well? Because, again, that's another place you filed against when you say.
Yeah, well, that was at Young Offenders Institution in Berlinney, so, I mean...
I'm just going to get this down.
To get 3 months for £20 was...
Even if you'd done a very big crime back then, you shouldn't, because I believe that they were putting you into the prisons where there was a lot of older people in there as well at the time and things like that. So you should have been mixing in places like that.
And all these places were for next to nothing. The £20 fine was for failure to pay half a crown bus fare. I never had any bus fare. And they gave me a £20 fine and I obviously couldn't pay it. If I can't pay half a crown, how could I pay £20?
And even still, they must think that then children not having that sort of money to get on the bus and things, they're obviously going out to go and see their friends, they're going to school and reporting them for such stupid acts and things like that. They've got no faith in humanity. You're only going to rebel then when they're treating you in such a kind of way and they're setting you up to keep going and going and going to get a response from you. After Berlinney, when you were placed into Polmont?
They took me... They took me for a trial then, but they actually put me in Sochten Prison in Edinburgh.
You just rushed you from pillar to post, really, haven't they?
Sochten Prison is a place where they do reports and things on you. So they put me in Stockton before I came to trial and then I got they gave me 3 years in Pullman Boston.
So you have to stay 3 years in here, let me get that on here. And just get that on here for you, darling. Thank you so much for that information as well, because what you've done there has helped us give us a rough time frame so we can go straight at them, because we'll go to all the bolsters, we'll go to all the prisons, we'll go to the local authorities, we'll go to the social services, because you think about it, it's not just the prisons that done the mistreatment. Social workers at the time not taking interest of what was going on, not social altogether, placing you within these places and making it an ongoing cycle, failing you to send you to prison for 3 months just for over, like you say, a small poxy fine. It's not acceptable to set your life up like that. And I am very sorry that you have been treated this way. Now, like I say, I'm no therapist, but I know straight away today that I am opening a can of worms that expect you to go through this topic of conversation with me.
Yeah.
Once it's done, we'll go full steam ahead and we won't settle for anything less than what you're entitled to. And I'll reassure you, we will go full steam ahead and get you that justice you deserve. Now, after this call, I'll add you onto WhatsApp, so you'll have perfect contact there with me to track your claim as many times as you need. And if there is any other memories that come to you and you think, I should have let her know that, you can update your claim at any time. But most importantly, you'll have direct contact for me. Even if you just need a little chat to get things off your chest, you've got me there at all purposes now, darling, okay? Now, can I just ask you, when you were first taken into the care system to Castle Toward Residential Home, was you kind of, did you get any empathy or did anyone explain to you what was going on?
Nah, nothing. Just they said I might be there a couple of weeks, and it was more or less your family were going through a bad patch, and that was it. We were told to meet some people at Glasgow Central train station, and there was quite a few of us from all over Glasgow, and they just whipped us away on a train, then a boat. Didn't know where we were. It turns out that the place is called Dunoon. It's a big island off the Ayrshire coast somewhere, or Greenock or somewhere like that. And then it was just like a big massive castle with nothing there, nothing, just on its own in this island. And bit of a nightmare really. When you're 13 or something, I was there. I actually remember the date. May 1967. And the only reason I remember that is because part of my duties in that home was to go and collect milk and papers for the teachers, and the headline of the paper that day was Glasgow Celtic had won the European Cup the day before, which was the 25th of May 1967.
That's what gave me the
recall.
That will help us as well locate everything.
Yeah. And that's the only thing I've ever seen. That was the only newspaper that I ever paid any attention of. I think my parents sent a postal order in sometimes for a pound or something, £1.50 or something, I don't know. But, yeah.
Could I ask you here, when you did arrive to Castle Coward, would the staff be quite boisterous in the way they spoke to you and approached you?
Yeah, well, being that age, and they were like military style people. That all these institutions I was in as a youngster, they were all the same. They were always ex-army or something, and they treated you like soldiers more or less, because everything was about physical exercise and 6 o'clock in the morning, running around places, training and doing this. It was a bit of a nightmare, really, when you're that age, because I was quite heavy when I was a kid, weight-wise, and I had health problems as well, which never helped. I was always diagnosed with colic and things like that, so my diet was very poor. You never think before the dietitians, they force fed you more or less, but stuff that you weren't used to, and then you were punished for not eating what they were putting down in front of you, so you had to then put the food in hankies and put it in your pocket to make sure your plate was clean, and just stuff like that. You were in bed for about 7:30 at night, woke up again early in the morning, just 7 days a week, really, just kind of a torturous. But every institution I've been in has more or less been the same, Pullman, Borstal.
And that's the half you...
of it. Yes,
yeah, sorry. Oh, no, don't worry. I just need to do is just get statements regarding each place, just because what we do is we file them for each places, so that will help me get an understanding of what it was like in each places. I just need to individually ask questions regarding them. Now, can I ask you said they would force you, make you eat food, of course, like due to your health and diet issues and things like that. Would they ever, say, for an example, single you out and let the other children pick at you or anything like that while she was within Castle Coward?
I suppose you could be, if you were a bit cheeky or you answered back and stuff like that, then you made yourself a target. They had their favourites and you know what I mean.
And then when you arrived at Longreach, did anything change here? Did you feel like or did you just feel like you went straight into it again and you noticed it's the same kind of environment?
Well, it was a bit long again. Was much worse that day, but there was physical abuse in long again. I mean, they used to get a bit of a kicking in there if you'd done anything wrong in there. The whole environment in there was toxic. I was walking about the first few days with odd shoes on. I had a size 9 shoe, a slip on, and a size 7 shoe, a lace shoe, because they'd run out of shoes.
Can I ask you, when you was also in Longridge, Ali, did they provide you food here, or did they make you eat things that you didn't actually like, or if you didn't like that, would you go to bed hungry that night?
Yeah, that's basically you got what you were given, and if you didn't eat it, that was your problem. It was just a big dining hall for everybody, and then you get marched in and marched back out again. And it was 23 hours a day lock-up, unless you got an hour's exercise. And you couldn't use any of the furniture. You couldn't use any of the furniture in the cell apart from the chair until a certain time. Then they told you you could use the bed then after a certain time.
Can I ask you here as well, Don, and I do need to ask the question. You don't need to go into detail if you do not feel like so, but was there ever any sexual abuse in here?
Not abuse as such, but you could tell the ones to avoid. Do you know what I mean? They used to watch you in the showers and stuff like that. And they insisted on, when you were getting a shower in front of people, I used to always try and keep my underwear on. And then they tickled that at the finish up, and they made everybody strip bare. And
right,
they wouldn't have any of that. You know what I mean? It was. And then if you didn't adhere to that, you got two or three punches for not adhering to that.
And also, I understand that you are suffering very bad with, obviously, just not just the physical side of things, it's obviously the mental side of things as well.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And if I am correct, earlier you said that you was in the Longridge End area, you was in that situation for around 3 weeks, would you say?
Oh, do you know something? That it was weeks, but it felt like months. The biggest problem with Longridge End was nobody knew where I was. And
so
I sent a letter out. I sent a letter out to my father, and to save all that suffering, £10 would have got me out of there. But that was the problem with the system up there. Nobody told anybody anything, and there was people.
And nobody wanted to communicate.
Well, there was nobody that could write. There's a lot of people that couldn't write, and a lot of them couldn't read the kids in there, and. You couldn't even get time to help them because you were segregated. And you only see them at meal times. So you had to, you know, somebody would ask you to read a letter for them or write a reply for them. You could only do it during the meal times. And otherwise everybody was just stuck, segregated. You had no contact with nobody.
Because even still, like you say, building relationships with other children in there would have helped you with the coping mechanism back then. And then you went on to Sterling.
Sorry. Carry on.
you went on to then Bellini prison. Can I ask you to give me an understanding of what it's like in here, please?
Oh, Bellini. Oh, my God, what a place that was. Oh, I was very young to be in there.
Sorry, I'm just working from home at the moment.
Yeah. Bellini Young Offenders, put it this way, it's a young offenders, but it's only because of the age group. You can only be in a certain wing until you're 21 before they move you on to the main prison, which is just a different wing. But you're still in the same. See, Glasgow is just full of gang violence, and it's run by gangs inside the young offenders. And there's people in doing from 7 days to a life sentence in the same wing. So the only segregation was there's four floors in Bellini. The top two floors was for lifers at the top, people doing over 10 years on the setting from top, and then dropping down to the likes of us, doing small sentences, and then you had the ground floor for people that was disabled, and also people that was on Rule 43, and the punishment cells were all on the ground. But it was their regime was, if you could get out of your bed, that meant you worked, and you went and you worked, and whether it was making mailbags or hammering cables or stuff like that, and but very intimidating atmosphere. And if you're not known face in this prison, you're in trouble, because when you go in the dining hall, the screws put you on a vacant table with a chair, you know, with nobody in it. And then after they put you there, the people that was on the table asked you where you came from in Glasgow, and if it didn't fit their scenario, they told you to F off and go and find somewhere else to sit. And then you would get that for about half an hour, just people just chasing you from going, you're not sitting here, you're not sitting here. And it was just a whole abusive, that was every meal, that was, until you found, well, some couple of older guys felt sorry for me, took me and stamped me on their table, and looked after me for a few months. Yeah.
No care off the staff or the Yodi people in there whatsoever. You should not have asked to be dealing with this in any way, shape or form. And it's not just the physical side of things. Like I say, it's the things that impact you for your whole life, how you've been made to feel.
Yeah.
And it's not acceptable whatsoever.
Yeah. I had a few kickings in there off the screws.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah.
Was the screws quite physical, where they would punch and kick you and things like that, and come into the cell?
Definitely. I can't remember what it was. Some envelopes went missing, and we were in the vicinity. Me and two other guys, or two boys, were in slopping out at the time, and then they come up. So anyway, I got dragged away, and I gave them a few verbals. And anyway, after they locked me up, there was about six or seven of them come in, and just empty cell. There was nothing in the cell. There was a cover on the floor. That was it. And God, just gave me a severe kicking between the six or seven of them, and left me there for about 3 days, and just opened the door now and again and pushed in a tray of food, and no contact with nobody. And it was quite a torturous environment in that place. And then they had me scrubbing floors for 2 or 3 weeks after that, just on your knees all the time, just scrubbing floors, and just abuse, really. Just get the odd kick now and again as the pasture. You put up with it because there's nothing else you could do.
Yeah, but I'm here, I'm just getting that down because also I'm just going to write down the impact that this would have had on you even still till this day now. Of course, I'm assuming that you would definitely deal with things like PTSD and things like that. I understand you're conversating with me at the moment, but I can imagine that these are just things that you put to the back of your mind as much as you possibly can. And I just want to reassure you, thank you so much for speaking up today, because as I've just explained to you, it's not nice for me to say this, but these places like the Linney Prison, Long Redend and things like that, these are very, very common places which come up on a regular basis. I'd say 8 people out of 10 people that I speak to on a daily basis would name these places. So them that have already speaking up is helping your case, and most importantly, you are helping theirs. So all together, we're working together, we will not settle for anything less than you're entitled to. Now, what I just need from you at this moment, Dale, is just a brief statement on Paul
I've got a date for you for that, Bill, innit? I remember my first time in there was the 12th of December, 1972. And that was until February 73, where I was gate arrested from there. So I never got out. They gate arrested me.
Whether I can't believe you've actually been heard and passed off on a pillar to post and being treated like this. When you did arrive at Palmer Falls, did you just know straight away that it was going to be exactly the same, or did you get any reassurance from anybody?
No, what happened was when the gate arrested me in around about the February of 73, they took me to Kirkcaldy Sheriff Court and Fife and put me on a petition for a trial for burglary. And then what a petition means, you get an automatic 10-day remand before they review your case. So they took me straight from Bellini Prison to court. And then from that court, they took me then to Sawston Prison. And I was in Sawston Prison for... it was weeks before it came to any kind of trial. Then they took me back to the court. And then they remanded me back to Sawston Prison for social inquiry reports and stuff like that. That was more weeks. And then when that was all said and done, and even, they took me back to the court again and gave me 3 years borstal. And then they took me back to Sawston, waiting, I can't remember how many weeks, before they drafted me to Bowman and Borstal. But to answer your question, I never knew anything about Bowman and Borstal. That was a very hard regime, Bowman and Borstal. Very hard.
And of course, I'm just getting down here that you've been passed from pillar to post in regards to various different places with being abused. And when you did arrive at Pullman Borstal, did they put you into a cell or anything with another inmate, or did they leave you in there on your own?
No, when you get to Pullman Borstal, they've got like an allocation unit. And everybody that comes in there spends 6 weeks allocation. It's like a conditioning unit. So they learn you what to do the rest of the time you're in there. It's all about training exercises, your single cell on your own, how to clean it, how to scrub it, how to sort your kit out for inspections every day. And before they draft you onto the main wing. But the problem I had here, I was around about 5 weeks in, I get called into the governor's office one day and told to pack my bags. And he never told me what for, because I thought I'd had an argument the day before. I thought they were taking me to the punishment block. So they told me to pack a pillowcase with all my stuff. And then they told me to go back to the cell, that somebody would be coming in the morning. So they left me in the cell. And then the next morning, I was sitting there dressed because I didn't know what was happening. And I pillowcase, and then they took me out of there, and then they put me in a van, and then they took me back to Stockton prison. And I asked the screws what was happening, and he says, "No, you have been rearrested for something that they say you committed in London." So I said, "So what happens now then?" He says, "Well, we're taking you back to Stockton now, and then they're going to arrange from Stockton to take you back to London to face these charges." So they took me to Stockton, and I was in there a few days, and then I got told to pack my stuff, and then they must have been to about 10 or 12 different prisons between Edinburgh and London over about a 10-week period.
Strange Age is not far from where I grew up, and that's from males.
And it took weeks and weeks, and then my destination was Longwood Scrubs, Young Offenders. And then they put me in there waiting in a trial that took months in there. And then after I was convicted there, they took me to a brothel in England. And then I complained because I wasn't getting any visits. I've never had a visit in 9 months. And I complained to the Secretary of State in Scotland. And they actually got me transferred back to Pullman, Boston. But all this took about 9 months. So I eventually got back to Pullman, Boston.
And when you got there, were they physical with you?
Pardon?
When you got back to Pullman prison, was they physical or anything, or was it the case where you was kind of secluded and left in your cell or things like that?
No, well, Boston's are always physical. I mean, they don't wear uniforms in places like Pullman, Boston. They're ex-services, but they wear suits, and you call them Mr. and Sir. But they're more violent to you than the screws in prison. Because nobody's in charge of these people in Boston. They've nobody to go back, you know, like the head of prison officers and different screws that's above you, you know, like sergeant majors and all that. These people just get their own mind and do what they want. They were actually the worst screws I've ever encountered. And as I say, I've been to about 10 different jails during that tour. With the exception of Durham, they were animals. But Bowman was one of the worst. And I never seen daylight until about 75. And I didn't know where I was coming from, or I'd go, whatever happened. I don't know what.
Would you say now, even still till this day, you struggle to trust people?
I've had a lot of mental health problems. I can't accept orders or anything like that. I always rebel against getting told what to do. I was married for a long time before we separated, but my partner always put it down to what happened to me as a kid. I was drinking heavily all the time, and it was all coming back all the time, you know, the thoughts. It was just mental torture, really, for most of my life, really. Yeah. And the only reason I contacted you was I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and I met some people that I hadn't seen in years. They come down from Scotland to London for a funeral, and a lot of them had been through the system, same as myself. And they told me about this, about how to complain for redress. And they says, "Do that," because
most definitely,
two or three of them had done it, and they says, and it gets it all off your mind and everything. and try and get some kind of a closure on it.
Most definitely. So, and not only that, justice.
Yeah, I was always going to write a book. You know what I mean? Because that's how
we've
bad it was.
We've just been discussing this with my boss. I was just actually having this conversation with him because there's a few other people that I spoke to with my clients and things like that throughout the whole process.
Yeah.
And what we've explained is they like to do like YouTube things and stuff like that. And I was saying it would be a great idea maybe in a couple months' time once everything's gone through and a few people have been paid out, even doing a podcast where we give them a chance to, you know, speak up and get their stories off the chest and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good place because a lot of people would feel like, for an example, there'd be people that may have been in the care system back then that you were not aware of and not having any contact with them that are suffering like yourself and don't feel like they're in the right places or the right time to speak up. Once they hear your story, then they know then that they can trust in somebody and they think, right, well, he's done it, I could do it this way. And it's awareness for everybody to know that you're all standing together, because you'd be shocked to understand how many people have actually had to suffer in these ways. And it's disgusting. It's a money-making scheme. If you was taken off your children, if your parents are refusal to go to school and they treat you so nicely, you're going to be back home next week. But if they treat you so badly and you rebel, that's an excuse for them to keep you in there and keep you and keep you and send you from A to B. Well, they're making a money-making scheme from that, and it's not great how they've neglected so many children over time. Now, what I can give you now is reassurance that... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, because I was forewarned about all this when I was a kid, because my father and four or five brothers and his sister were in Smilem Orphanage in Scotland. Oh, what a terrible place that was.
Yeah.
And they've opened up investigations about Smilem Orphanage. And that was the Christian Brothers was the people in charge of that. And they suffered untold of abuse. So my father well warned me. When I first was in an institution, he always reminded me what happened to him in Smilem Orphanage.
And again, it's not fair knowing that your parents are after be at home worrying, and it's out of their control because they can't decide, they can't make a decision or bring them back. They were point blank refuse what the parents would have to say. And even at times in certain situations, they'd stop parents coming on visits and things just because the children had bruises on them and stuff like that. And it's disgusting to know that how much control that they had over the parents back then. It's disgusting. Now, even still,
well,
a lot of people are still getting convicted.
Well, my brother, from about 10 years of age, there was about 2 or 3 weeks he never went to school, kept climbing over the gate. And then he was took away. I never seen him till he was 15. 5 years.
So, again, children being refusing to go to school and things like that, then what you think you would do is you'd have a scheme with them, the correct curriculums to make them be happy to go to school, help them build the confidence up to go to school. Even still, whether it's picking them up in the morning and dropping them off after school to make sure they got from A to B and they was happy to do so, then that is how everything should work. Not being taken off your parents, being treated in such a horrible way, and then obviously you're going to rebel, and then of course they get the reaction that they want from you. It's disgusting. And even as a human being, I don't understand how some people could treat people like this in any way, shape or form. But money speaks for itself sometimes.
Yeah, he was in and out of institutions, and then it was always sleeping with someone else, and it was always in bed sits, and then it was liked a drink and all that, but he used to go to work anyway. He got closure. He had a drink one night and put the chip pan on and forgot all about it. And he was killed in a fire, 40 years of age. You know what I mean? But that's just, I thought to myself, well, at least he's got closure, because it really affected him. His mental health was really poor.
But even still, happy to suffer and go through with that. It's not acceptable, and it's not the life that people want. That's why I say to people now, no money will ever take away what you've had to deal with, even if we got you the maximum, even if we got you £500,000 back. That's not going to take away what you've had to deal with. But do you know what I do want to reassure you on? When we submit your case onto the portal, you will get a call directly free from Redress Scream itself. Well, I'm not saying 100% you will get this, but most likely this will be the case where they'll contact you and they'll say, we can pay you £3,000 up front now as an underpayment. As an upfront payment. Now, that will be an underpayment that they'll try and trick you to accept. Now, I don't want you to be confused with who you're dealing with, because as soon as they know that we've got the case on the system anyway, they'll just try and throw money at you just to try and get you to an accept £3,000 or £4,000. Now, just to be on the safe side, what I am going to do is I'm going to password protect your account. So if anybody calls you and you are a bit unsure on who you're speaking to, you say, what is my password? Now, if they don't know the password that was set with you today, just hang the phone up on them. And if they are anybody important, we'll call you back with that password. Now, have you got any words that's memorable to you? It could be anything, football team, it can be a favourite hobby, drink, food, anybody's name. What word would you like to use the password for you?
My mother's maiden name, Douglas.
Douglas, no problem. So if anybody calls you, you just say, what is my password? And if they don't state the word Douglas, just hang the phone up on them. And if they are important, they will call you back straight with that password.
Okay.
Now, what I've done, Darren, is I've just popped you a message over on WhatsApp. What I require from yourself is a picture of your ID and proof of address. Now, ID can be anything from driver's license, passport, birth certificate, bus pass, anything like that. We just need a full picture of that, and we need a full picture of your proof of address. Now, proof of address can be any letter that's dated to you in the last 3 months. Even if it's a screenshot, that's fine as well. Would you be able to send that over to me whilst you're on the call? And whilst you're doing that, I'm just going to get your documents sent over to your email and to your mobile number. Is that okay with you?
I'll try my best. I'm not the greatest on phones, but I'll try my best.
If not, don't
worry. If I get cut off at any period, just ring me back, because...
Yeah, I will. Do not worry, darling.
With it.
Don't worry. I'll talk you through it anyway. So you go and do that. I'm here at this moment just getting your documents sent over to you. You will get a text message come through as well in a second. Now, I've already messaged you on WhatsApp, but you'll also get a normal text message come through with your document on there. But I'll talk you through that in a second once I've got your ID and proof of address over, darling.
Because I know how WhatsApp works with sending pictures and that, if that would be easier.
Yeah, so if you send that over to me on WhatsApp, that'll be perfect. And then once you've done that, I'll help you get your document done. I don't want to over-confuse you right now.
Yeah, because I know how to do WhatsApp.
And then what will happen from there, it will take about 2 weeks from today once I get your case submitted. So we put your case on the portal and then we get a response from Scottish Redress. It can take anything from 7 to 14 days. Now, the response from them will be your application number. And once we've got that application number, we go full steam ahead and we approach all the local authorities. Now, we'll approach all the local authorities for each and every document. And as soon as we've got that, we can come to terms of them making you an offer regarding the scheme.
Yeah.
So I'll be constantly updating you throughout everything anyway.
Okay, dear. No problem. I'm just looking for letters.
It's council tax letter, any letter, even if it's from, say, Bingo or Spectators. It doesn't really matter where the letter's from.
Yeah.
We just need to prove that you are living at your home address.
Yeah, yeah. I've got all my pension stuff and all that anyway. So that's plenty of proof with the pension and all that. I've got a driving licence, although I no longer bike because I've got a few disabilities, but I've still got my licence for ID purposes. Would hospital letters work for that as well?
Hospital letters are perfectly fine, yes. What's the date on it?
Yeah. I've just got this one. What's the date on this? The 31st of March, 27th.
Yeah, that's perfect. That'll be perfect.
Yeah, I'm waiting on a couple of operations, so I'm getting
Well, what I'll do, if anything was to happen with your operations or anything, you just bob me a message on WhatsApp before you go into it and say, for an example, give me your partner's number, and if there's any updates or anything, I can update her whilst you're having your operations that way.
Yeah, no problem. I've got these letters in my driving licence, shall I do that now then, to try and WhatsApp?
Yes, if you could just take a picture of it for me. Now, the letter, if you could just take a full picture of the letter for me, say with your driver's licence so we can see everything on there, that would be perfect.
Right, okay. I just put my licence down there, I can't remember.
I don't even look anything like my license. I look like Ozzy Osbourne, if I'm honest with you, on it.
Oh, I probably put all these letters on top of it. Well, just leave that with me for a minute till I get my... I found that I was on the top of another letter. Right, I'll try this WhatsApp and see if I can keep a connection at the same time.
If you can't do it whilst you're on the phone, if it's easier for you, I can pop the phone down and I can call you straight back in 2 minutes once you've got them through. That's not a problem.
Because I've got to find you on WhatsApp first, isn't I?
I've got you a message at the top. So if you go on WhatsApp, you'll be a message at the top saying, password Douglas.
All right. If
you click on that, there should be a little attached, like a plus sign at the bottom.
Yeah.
There'll be a plus sign. And if you click the plus sign, it will then say images or camera roll.
All right. And take it from there, hopefully.
And then take it from there. I'll
try that. Thanks very much, dear. Just give me a few bit of time,
Brilliant. That ID is perfect.
Hold on, dear.
And then just the same with a letter.
Yeah, I've done that.
Let me just make sure that's perfect.
If you want, I've got other stuff locked away in a wee cabinet, my pension letters and stuff.
No, that's perfectly fine. That's all that we need from you. That's brilliant. Now, one last thing from me, darling, is you would have had a text message that's come through to your mobile number. Now, I just do need to let you know that you can apply for this without a solicitor, and you can instruct a solicitor who participates in government legal fee schemes where anything up to £2,000 is covered by the government. Now, we work on no win, no fee, so if your case is unsuccessful for any reason, you will not be charged a single penny. And if the case is successful, at the very end of the case, the legal team will take 20% to cover the work that they've done. So, for an example, if you get £100,000 back, they will take 20 and you would get 80. So, in the most professional way, they won't settle for anything less. The faster you get it, the faster they get it. The more you get, the more they get. So, they will make sure that they do everything to make sure they maximise your amount that you receive back. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah.
Now, you've had a text message that's come through. It's not on WhatsApp, it's on your normal text messages. Would you just see if you've received that for me?
Okay. Yeah, it's a thing that says sign a document.
Brilliant. So if you could click on the link for me, please.
Yep, I've opened it.
Brilliant. So then it should take you to a big box that will say client signature.
Right, hold on. Yep, I've got it here,
Brilliant. If you could give it a squiggle with your finger for me and press the big blue button that's next to it that says execute document.
Yeah.
That should then come back through to me. Let me just make sure that's come back through, darling. Once you've pressed the big blue button, what has it said on your screen there?
Execute all documents.
Yeah, press that button for me, darling.
Right.
That's everything. So that is absolutely everything regarding your case. So I'm going to go ahead now and submit your case off. It will be a maximum of 14 days from today in regards to a response from redress. And I will keep you updated through WhatsApp. Now, if there's anything you need off me, even if it's a call, just pop Billy, please call me, and I'll give you a call as soon as I've got 2 minutes spare. And if there's anything you need off me, do not hesitate to give me a call or a message over. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yep, okay, dear.
No problem. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I'll go ahead and I'll make sure I get your case submitted off right away. I will not change throughout this process, so I'll be always your claims handler. And like I say, if there's anything that I can do to make you reassured or to even make your life a little bit easier, just pop me a message over and I will obviously conversate with you from that point onwards, darling. Okay?
Okay, dear.
No problem. Thank you so much for your time today. All right, darling.
Okay,
and I'll see you.
Thank you very much.
You've got your update. Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay, dear. All the best.